may be seated. Now, we were examining many facets of the spirit realm to return to God's original plan. When we come to understand God's original plan, then we'll begin to function and flow and focus on the supernatural. We've been out of God's plan so long, not to the full dimension of his plan, not that we don't love him, not that we don't serve him, but yet we have not tapped into the real, let me say this way, expectation of God. We have an assignment. Every one of us is a child of God. You wasn't saved just to be saved. You are saved with an assignment. An assignment will cause for you to know some things. There's some things you need to know. There's some things you need to understand. There's a certain caliber of wisdom you must carry in order to enjoy the fulfillment of your assignment. Are you listening to me? And so apostolically, it is our job as apostles to bring us back to the original plan of God, and that God will begin to flow through us as he used to flow. Anybody with me here? And so we have come, hermeneutics is the interpretation of scripture. That's not good enough. Homiletic is the preaching of scripture. That's not good enough. We need the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will bring all of it together. And that's why Christians don't know at large the importance of being at church every time the door opens. You don't know what God's going to say. When we honor him and come to know him in reality of the spirit, we move from religion. There's a resurrection effect that start happening in our lives. Y'all didn't hear that. There's a resurrected response that we begin to give to God, a response higher than life. Good God Almighty. I said a respond that is higher than life, this natural life. As a resurrected position, once you come to revelation of the real God, you live in a resurrected position. You live with an expectation. You live with an expectation, listen to me, for a visitation from God. It's all right, your cousin come to town, but when God visit, you know, he come to clear everything up that's naturally and satanically forcing you not to be able to live like you should live. So when I come here, I come prepared, and I thank God for people who prepares the atmosphere, because the atmosphere has to be right. You know, I see some people doing praying, we're just looking around, chewing gum, just seeing who up in here. But you need to be focusing on God. Yes. See, when I begin to open my mouth now, that gum chewing and that focusing on other people and looking all around, you're going to miss it. Because that's on a radio channel. You get almost to that number. But that channel not coming in. You got to get on that dial. You got to get there, you see. And that's a channel we have to be on in the spirit in order to receive what the Holy Ghost is saying. Many morning I left here with some stuff I was supposed to put out. Many morning I took some stuff back home I shouldn't have took back home. But your capacity, Jesus said, I have something to say to you, but you're not ready to bear them now. And so if it take 5 or 10 minutes to give you about a half hour of praise, you take 5 or 10 minutes and get in on it, and really have an expectation, you'll get what you're looking for. You just can't You just can't have it any kind of way. And so my aim is to train you and develop you that you can function. And I try to hit you every kind of angle I can hit you on. You know, so I'm about to hit you on an angle right now. Open your Bible. First John chapter 3. Don't have to be the same thing all the time. First John chapter 3. I want to deal with an aspect of the Word of God that can change your life forever in this one session. I have about 7 months of teaching. I'm going to try to put in these 40 minutes. But I got some little piece of paper in this Bible. I got about 7 or 8 months or a year teaching on. 2 or 3 pieces of paper. And so you turn to 1 John, not that John Gospel, 1 John. Because we're going to deal with one of the greatest revelation in the New Testament. One of the greatest revelation in the New Testament. And what's so sad about it is most people who are born again have never fully understood what we're about to teach you this morning. Once you understand this revelation, your life take on a new dimension. You heard what I said?
Yes, sir.
Let's write down my life about to take on a new dimension. So put that down. Write that down. Because I see you flowing in another dimension.
Yes, sir.
And I see Word of Life flowing in another dimension. And I know many of you all are ready. Okay, and so I'm aiming to put it before you this morning as the Holy Spirit helped me. The simplicity of the gospel sometimes tricks us because it's so easy. You say my yoke is easy, my burden is light, you know. And that's a word, I look up the word this morning, sonship. In regular dictionaries, there's no such word. It's a word that came out of my vocabulary. But then when you look back into the Merriam Unabridged Dictionary, back in the way back, someone spoke that word sonship, and it actually has to do with our relationship with the Father. I'm a son, you?
I'm a son.
Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah, yeah. And so let's look at 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. You see that part?
Yes, sir.
They ain't going to go on and tell us what it is. But knowing what it is and how it works is two different things.
Yes, sir.
Or seeing that and not knowing that it still exists today.
Yes, sir.
This is not a fairy tale. This is not something we're reading about the past. This is something that the New Testament church should be involved in now.
Right.
And so he said, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us. In other words, John is emphasizing here, this is unique. This is out of the ordinary, what we're about to look at. This can cause you to function in a different dimension than a regular religious person or a person who just got baptized. Because behold what man, you see what he said? Behold what manner of love. I know you didn't read on that, but I just won't stop there. Behold what manner of love. Behold what manner of love. I want you to, that's what I want you to do. I want to tempt you. Behold what manner of love the Father had bestowed on us. So you can run ahead, you know. Read the whole scripture. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Notice it's the Father's love that he bestowed upon us. Listen. That we should be called the sons of God. Now, let me say this. Maybe this will help you. Not just called. We're not just called the sons of God. Along with being sons of God comes divine supernatural privileges that will really make you an odd person in the natural. You will seem sometimes like you're out of your mind. But yet, manifestation will make the world respect you. You follow me? Demonstration will make the world know that you're operating from another realm than academic. See, academic anointing. Academic anointing. Nothing wrong with academic, but it can't work here. Okay? Now, I want you to hear this because I'm going to show you some things. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, right? That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world what? Knows us not. Because what? Now, notice the second verse now. Notice the second verse. He shift, John shift to emphasize God's original plan. Beloved. Now he call you beloved. No, behold, you're not beloved. Now we are what? The sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now my question is, and I want to pinpoint some things, why can't we see him right now? In our situation and circumstances we're dealing with, I say to you that the truth that God is our Heavenly Father and we are his children is one of the greatest revelations in the New Testament. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You know why you're not enthused? You've heard it so much and you really don't know what it is. So when you say that, you just say, amen. Because you really don't understand who you really are. So, I remember studying the believer's authority behind my spiritual father. I read that book, I don't know how many times. And it's one of the things they say, we had the authority to use the name of Jesus, the authority to use the word, the authority to use the blood, the authority of the kingdom was with us, the authority of heaven was backing us up. You know, we had a certain authority that we could do because we were believers. But I think that the sonship or the sons of God authority is higher than a believer's authority. What are you saying now? I'm saying that you have more of a grip on the family tie when you talk about being a son of God. A believer is all right, but yet when it's a shift, you know, in the Old Testament they believe. But here in the New Testament, because of the finished work of Christ, we are born again. Yes. We are born into him.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. And so it's a family relationship and it has family benefits. You know. And so this is what we want to talk about. We want to talk about the sons of God authority. I want to show you some of your authority that you have that you can't really use unless you come to a grip with the revelation of sonship. What it really mean when John said, God, now we are the sons of God. As Jesus was sent on an assignment, Jesus sent us on an assignment to do the same thing with the same power that he did it. Why wasn't Jesus sick? Why wasn't Jesus broke? Why wasn't Jesus in fear? He was operating in his sonship. And his sonship would shake off everything Satan had to offer. Wouldn't you like to do that? Shake off everything that the enemy come against you with. You know how to shake it off from the authority of your sonship. Shake it off. All right, now, I want to prove some things to you that I have to prove to you in order for you. You're not going to ever understand this To operate in this type of authority properly, you must have a revelation of Jesus' authority. Yes, sir. To operate in this authority properly, you must have a revelation of Jesus' authority. Everybody say a revelation,
revelation.
Of Jesus' authority.
Of Jesus' authority.
Now notice we said a revelation, not a reading.
Right.
Yes, sir. Not a report.
Right.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
No, we said a revelation. So anytime you use the word revelation, you're calling on the Holy Spirit, right? May the Holy Spirit open Jesus' authority up and let me see it. May the Holy Spirit, say it, may the Holy Spirit open Jesus' authority up and let me see it, that I can operate in it. The same authority that Jesus functioning in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Guess what? That same authority is on you. He's a son. You see it? Sam assignment. Sam anointing. But the key, we're going to have to develop the same awareness that Jesus had, that he had the divine backup of his Father. You must be aware of your sonship. Day and night, always aware that something supernatural can happen any moment. Something impossible can happen any moment because of the dimension that I live in. The realm. We're talking about dimensions and realm here now. We're talking about way beyond, you know, just saying I'm a child of God. We're talking about supernatural things happening. Are you following me? So, could it be not really understanding the Father, not understanding the relationship? See, there must be a revelation of the relationship. Write that down. A revelation of the relationship that I have with the Father as a son. Now, daughters, y'all know it's sons and daughters. I just use the word son, all right? But the revelation, you can write daughter if you want. But the revelation of relationship. You got to have a revelation of relationship. A revelation of relationship. A revelation of the relationship between a son of God and God. If you notice Jesus teaching and Jesus preaching, he always played on his sonship. He always talked about his Father. Matter of fact, in John 14, you got the word Father in there over 21 times, one chapter, verse after verse, Jesus talking about his Father. But here's what the Holy Spirit want to show you to substantiate. If you're taking notes, let's establish the dimension the Father of God, the fatherhood of God works in and from. Let's establish the dimension or the realm the fatherhood of God work in and from. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9. We're establishing the dimension. If you don't know the dimension, you're not going to be able to function there. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 says, and we all as little children or somewhere, somebody taught us this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye now. It's very important. Notice what he says here now. Jesus, our Father. Now, in a few moments, we're going to want you to know that take on a spiritual connotation.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. It takes on supernatural privilege.
Hallelujah.
Miracle, sign, wonders, the impossible become impossible. Basically, let me say it this way. Basically, at large, we're living below our means.
Yes, we are.
All right? It's time for us to come on up. Because Satan, he's coming up now. And so as a son of God, you can stand your ground. So the revelation of the relationship of the Father is so important. The revelation of the relationship that I have with the Father because I'm a son of God include all my abilities, include all my inheritance, my deliverance, my victory, everything is involved in it. You follow me? So Jesus said, when you pray, therefore, pray you, our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All right, then the 10th verse says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And see, now that's our assignment. That's things attack us. Sometimes the Lord permits things to attack us for us to rise up and smack it back. You never know who you are if you never use your stuff. You've got some stuff God wants you to use. And so Satan, he's stupid. He don't know that he can't handle you. When you operate, boy, listen. When you operating in your sonship properly, Satan knows he cannot mess with you. He cannot stop you. It won't be permanent because you're going to come out super on it. Now, write these words down. Connection, direction, and protection. Connection. Should we talk about connection here now? But in that connection is a direction. It's divine direction. In that connection is divine protection. So when you know it, you just know it. Yeah, everything else saying something different, but in your inner man, you know it got to come back right, you know. You're wobbling, look like you're going off the road, but it got to come back right. Because I'm connected.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, thank you, Father.
If you don't know you're connected, Satan's going to make you think you're defective. Something you did. He's going to say, because you're going through something, it's something you did. It's not necessarily something you did. He's just a dirty devil. And you're going to have to know how to use the connection of sonship. What I'm about to show you now, see, because it moves in another dimension. Turn to Hebrew. It moves into another dimension. Connection, direction, protection. Glory to God. Now, we're establishing the dimension of the fatherhood of God. How it worked. And then we'll know how our sonship is sealed. To work in a certain realm. To work in a certain dimension.
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 12. You can come out of that. Hey. Yeah. You can come out this morning. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, we're working on something now. Say, we're working on something. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, well, all are partakers. Now, you see, I wasn't cussing. Then you are bastards and not sons. That's in there, isn't it? All right, now watch what he says in the next verse. The next verse is a marvelous, marvelous revelation of your sonship. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. And we give them reverence. Whoop your tail right. You give reverence. You whoop your tail right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You going to touch that anymore? No, sir. I ain't touching it no more. Whoop your tail right. You know, I've seen them whipping, boy. I've caught them and give them. That's flesh correction. Huh? All right. Then to all y'all smiling now. Yes, sir. All y'all done caught a whooping. Shall we not much rather be in subjection? Now, this is where the revelation come in. This is where the revelation of sonship come in at. To the Father. To the Father of spirits. So here we find it out now that my sonship is a spiritual relationship. So it meaning that I can function in my faith in the realm of the spirit as a different dimension. Because my sonship is based on a spiritual relationship. God is not the father of my flesh. He's the father of my spirit, but I can put him over my flesh. So as a son of God, my connection and my contact with God, with heaven, with the supernatural, is spiritual. Because sometimes your last name become a disgrace. Sometimes your family member is a disgrace. But that's not your connection. It's one-on-one. It's a one-on-one relationship. You can't mess mine up, and I can't mess yours up. But I have to know that. I have to know that. If the Bible is going to come alive, if the Bible is spirit and life, and if I'm going to live by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I'm going to have to know that I'm a spirit being,
yes,
and that I'm a son on an assignment with an anointing. And just as Jesus operated, I can operate.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, when you put God first place in your life, everybody will know it. If you got him second place, everybody will know it. If you got him third place, everybody will down, down, down. But most Christians have not put God first place. They got their career, what they want to accomplish in life in first place. Nothing a man bring in this world. Nothing he carry out. But when you put God first, there's a dimension you operate in and you live in that somewhat is lonely. Are you willing to pay the price for sonship? Because sonship is not running around with everybody. Sonship stay at their own house. Don't have to be at the picnic. Don't have to be at the party. Don't have to be at the social affair. Just go ahead on and be lonely and blessed. That's a price you have to pay. That's a price you have to pay to function in sonship properly, because he's the father of spirit. Therefore, all right, Lord. All right, I got it. I got it. Go back to 1 John. I miss a verse. And he tell me right now. See, there's a pureness that the word would make in your life. There's a flushing. There's a cleansing. There's a separation. There's a saturation that the word put in your life. That you live different. You talk different. Ooh, Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There's a pureness that you, when you recognize your sonship, There's a purifying factor that take place in your life. There's a separation that take place in your life. It almost automatically, the word just separates you from a lot of junk and bunk that dilutes your power. Most Christians working with diluted power because they let something come between their fellowship. See, the relationship's still there, but when the fellowship is not right, it break down the relationship. Talk to me. Say, I hear you. You see.
Preach, God.
The Bible says, finally, my brother, be strong. I can do all things through Christ. But there's a purifying factor.
Yes, sir.
You got to be pure. You got to run from sin.
Yes.
And when you mess up, you got to holler, I'm wrong.
Yes.
Help me, Lord, from this
moment.
Don't lay down there and wallow. Get yourself up from that. And let the Holy Ghost cleanse you from that unrighteousness. Because the enemy going to steal you. You got to be pure for your power to flow.
That's all right, Apostle.
Are you hearing what the Lord said? I received
something.
Are you hearing what the Lord said? Now that third verse, 1 John 3, that third verse is what I want you to read. The third verse. Read the third. What the third verse said? Purify himself.
Yes, sir.
What?
Uh-huh.
What it mean, purify himself? It mean taking the word in at enough dimension for it to make you pure. All right. So we saw what happened in Hebrews, right? Huh? He's the Father of Spirit, right? Now, it's amazing how God showed me this, because here's a principle that's going to apply to all of the principles of the fatherly relationship. Then John 4:23, John Gospel. Still talking about the fatherhood of God and our relationship, but here he's going to show us in a different way now. Worship, the works of God, the will of God, the ways of God, the wisdom of God, they all work the same way. And here, Jesus is talking to this woman in John 4. Hallelujah. See, God's original plan is for you to operate as a son.
Thank you, Lord.
So you remember when Satan, great John 4, we'll talk to you about something. You remember when Satan was tempting Jesus? Two times he said, if thou be the son.
Right.
See, you got to know your son.
Right.
See. Jesus said, no, we're not going to talk about this conversation. I know I'm a son, so he had to answer that. He went on to tell him, man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But you don't have to answer the question, if I'm a son.
Yes, sir.
When you get to the point that you don't have to answer that question,
yes, sir.
When Satan attack you,
that's good, Lord.
Satan know he defeated.
That's good, Lord. That's good.
But you got to go back and find what a son is. I mean, I got church, I've been baptized. Most people tell you I've been baptized. You asking about Jesus?
Yes,
I got seven people saved last week.
Yes,
and they tell you about they've been baptized. I said, bow your head.
Yes,
you don't know what born again means? Who up in here don't know what born again means? There's somebody up in here don't know what born again means right now. Or to come ask you. Because most people say, I've been baptized with water, I belong to the church. You have to know what born again means. See, because you can't be a son or a daughter unless you're really born again. Some of y'all are told to travel, what y'all saw and all that, don't even know what. The man, Nicodemus, Jesus said, you must be born again. What born again mean? Most people don't. I travel all over the world. You ask, born again? He said, I've been in church since I was a little boy. Born again? I don't. What you talking about? Do you know what born again mean? It is a spiritual birth that only can take place supernaturally. It is a gift from the Father through the Son that you receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And at that point, you become born again in your spirit. See, this is not secular literature. This is in the realm of the spirit. And so a lot of people in the church not born again. And so they can't receive spiritual things. Even though they're all of you. I've been to church 25 years. You've been in the church 25 years. You said it right. So I want to be clear with you now, because I'm teaching you a thing. I'm about to show you something now about the Spirit. They that worship him for Father looking for such to worship. Look at John 4:23. Let me just go ahead and do it and do it and then work with it in the process. You still with me?
Yes.
Other words, God's original plan is for you to operate in the Spirit as a son of God. Same authority, same might, same power, the same results. Jesus always knew what he was going to do. I mean, in a tight spot, he played around with them boys. He said, how much bread y'all got? Them boys, we ain't got enough, son. We ain't got enough. How much fish y'all got? We ain't got no more than two, son. No. It's too many people out there. What are we going to do, Lord? He just asked them. He already knew what he was going to do. He's going to make, I taught in Port Arthur, there's an invisible account that you can make withdrawal from. Get your hand on that tape if you can. There's an invisible account that you can make withdrawal from. And Jesus always, me too, make withdrawal from that invisible account. Man said it can't be done. God said it can. So here in John 4:23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father how?
In spirit and in truth.
That's your sonship right there.
Yes, sir.
That's your sonship. What activates your sonship is truth. God, dog, boy. You heard that? What? Yeah, see, truth activates your sonship. That's why Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall exempt you. See, free mean I'm exempt as I enforce.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My goodness, man. My goodness. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. What is the revelation in this verse about what we're talking about this morning? Just like he said that about worship, all of our contact, all of our functioning as son is based on this verse. See? Spirit and truth. They that worship the Father must worship him. Worship the Father. Worship the Father. Must worship him in spirit and truth. That's what it says, right? Huh? But it's just not talking about worship. It's talking about prayer. It's talking about your faith. See, everything must function, I receive. Everything must function in spirit and in truth. The Father, he's the Father of spirit. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord day. In the book of Revelation, I seen all kind of stuff.
Yes,
stuff you couldn't see when you're not in the spirit.
Come on.
So this verse gives us the context of the fatherhood of God. Listen. The 24th verse said, God is what?
Spirit.
And did it what?
Worship
him. Did it work with him? Did it want him to work with them? Must worship him in spirit and in truth. Come on, class. I'm almost through. Must worship him in what? Spirit. Why? Because God is a spirit and I am a spirit. Our relationship is spiritual. So the reason we haven't seen the miracles and the sign and the wonders is we have not been operating in the spirit as we should. It's in the spirit. It's in a divine trust that we have toward God. And you cannot have that divine trust without not operating in the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13, operate your anointing, operate your contact with heaven, the days of heaven on earth. Jesus operated from three perspectives, and then I'm going to show you how he did it. But Jesus, turn to Matthew 3. I'm going to show you the three perspectives that he operated from. He had three things going for him. God showed them all to us at one time. Glory to God. You can do this. I said you can do it. Glory to God. I sense the anointing, man. Glory to God. You see, hey, my good God Almighty. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it shows what Jesus was operating with. First of all, if you're going to operate as a son, you must understand, boy, get ready for this. I didn't have the vocabulary to say that, but I just got it. You have to understand you have the ability to open hell. What? What is it? Y'all say you have the ability to what? Open. What? Man, listen to what we're saying here. Because of my relationship, I can knock on heaven's door, and when heaven hear my voice, the door come open because heaven know who I am. Because I'm a child of God and I got heaven's right on earth. I can cause heaven to come down on earth and do things out of the ordinary because I'm a son, because I'm connected. When I knock on heaven's door, heaven, all the angels, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit knows who I am. It's a family member knocking. In other words, honey, because I'm a son of God, I have the right to get heaven to open up. The thing would make me rejoice, what can heaven do but my situation? Who is it? Leroy. Yes, sir. Preacher from Darrow. Open that door. That's him. What you dealing with? Talk to me. Sit down. Sit down. What you dealing with? What you dealing with? Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. What you dealing with? You just received a marvelous revelation. Because you are son of God, you have the right to knock on heaven's door, and heaven's door will come open for you with all the privileges and all the opportunities that heaven, that's why Jesus knew. Jesus just knocked on that door. The bread start coming. The fish start coming. They had no more than 5 loaves, but Jesus knocked on that door, and it opened up heaven resources, and everything start coming out. Go ahead on, knock on the door. Knock on your Bible. Knock on your Bible or your computer. Knock on it. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget. I have a right to knock on heaven's door, and heaven's door got to open to me because I'm a son of the living God, and I know I'm operating in the spirit, not in the flesh. Glory to God. You understand that, young lady? You say that you can knock. Heaven open up. If you got a weakness in your life, and something going wrong and you won't get it right, just knock. There's a place in heaven that got some stuff called grace. Got some stuff called mercy. They don't make it down here. Got some stuff called forgiveness in heaven. You can knock. They got some, you knock that door and you knock and you need something and you need in a hurry, some blood going to come running out. The blood of Jesus is, and the blood, written in the blood is finished. Yes, stop talking about what they're doing to you and how they're messing over you. Knock. Knock, 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 knock. Expect, believe, talk, say it. Believe it, say it, believe it, say it. Believe it, say it. Call it what it is. Say it, call things that be not as though they were. Say it. I'm fully persuaded that what he had promised, he's also able to perform. The Lord is with me. Emmanuel. The Lord is in me. The Lord is, if God is for me. Pap, pap, pap. I'm a son of God, man. I'm a son of God. I have divine rights. They're supernatural. They're in the realm of the spirit. Nothing impossible. The impossibilities that start happening when I come back and start going by my natural name and my natural contacts and all that. No, but when I get my right contact, see if you sit down. See if you want me to say this. I want to see if you want me to say this because I hear something in the spirit. God, listen. God, you listening?
Yes, sir.
God has a contract on your life in heaven. You heard that?
Yes, sir.
There's a written contract in heaven on your life. You know what it said? Can't be taken out. Can't be stopped. Can't be denied. Can't be defeated. Can't be overcome. There's a revelation in heaven that you are undefeatable. How many of y'all gonna receive that? There's a contract on me that I'm a winner, that I'm victorious, that I can have what I say. Heaven backing me up. Heaven will make it happen for me when it don't happen for nobody else. He'll make it happen for me because I'm a child of the living God. Hey! You see me? Contract on my name. It's not by my goodness, it's by his goodness. And then Matthew 3:16, and all three of them happened. Heaven open. I'm able to hear a voice that always say yes. Why did he? Why he always say yes? Because it's nothing I could ask for he can't do. So every time I hear his voice, when I'm in alignment with my spirit and my sonship, his voice say yes. So he said, where you gonna get it from? Where I'm gonna get it from? Where am I going to get it from? If I ask him and I hear his voice, where am I going to get it from? What? Listen, here's a divine privilege. You want to give a divine privilege? Here's a divine privilege. People don't know it's a divine privilege. I can hear the voice of God. Boy, that's powerful. See, heaven open. That's one of the most divine, look, that's one of the most greatest privileges that anybody can have. Heaven open to me, and I can hear the voice of God. I can hear God say, don't go that way. Everything looked wrong the other way, but he said, don't go that way, go this way. I say it, I can hear the voice of God. I can open heaven. Sons of God, I can open heaven. I can hear the voice of God. You ready? Get a third one. Because I'm a son of God, I can attract the Holy Ghost. Three things now. I can open heaven. I can hear the voice of God. And that's what Jesus was working with. And I can attract the Holy Ghost. Lift your hand and give God some praise for that. Say it. I can open heaven because I'm a son of God. I can open heaven. I can hear the voice of God. And I can attract the Holy Ghost. That's three undefeatable dimensions. If you, as a son of God, if you know that, I can get heaven open just like that. Because I'm a citizen of another country. I'm working down here as an ambassador. This really not my home. But I'm sent here on a mission.
Let's get preaching, Dad.
I have the right to use the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Now, let's quickly see how Jesus, sit down. Let's quickly see how Jesus operated as a son. Now, I'm about to say something now. You get ready for this. I said, I'm about to say something now. Get ready for it. Just like God spoke through Jesus in these last days, guess what? God want to speak through you as a son in these last days. He wants you to manifest till it take the breath out of somebody. He wants you to demonstrate that they know you're operating from another power, another source, another ability. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. God want to speak today through you, through your life. With heaven open, you're able to hear the voice of God and attracting the Holy Spirit. With that threefold combination, Jesus shook heaven, earth, and hell. May the Father give you divine instruction about every situation in your life right now. You see what I'm saying? May you be able now as a son of God to attract the Holy Ghost to work with your situation. Good God Almighty, man. Wow, how many of y'all glad you came to church this morning? Oh, my goodness. Those three things, son, those three things, don't forget them. As a son of God, you got the right to open heaven, you got the right to hear the voice of God, and you got a right to attract the Holy Ghost. Listen, with that threefold combination, you're unstoppable, undefeatable in a way. Heaven open, I can hear the voice of God and the Holy Ghost on my back. Now, turn to Hebrews 1. I'm going to show you how Jesus did this thing, how God spoke in his last days. Y'all act like Old Testament people. You're sons of God. You're sons of God. It's a New Testament revelation. You're sons of God. I'm a son of God. It's a New Testament revelation. It's an after effect, after the cross effect. I'm a son of God. I'm in the family. I'm not on a promissory note. He's already here. It's already done. I'm in. I said I'm in. I'm in the family now. I ain't got to die to get in. I'm in right now.
Right now.
I mean, you in?
Yeah.
I mean, tell that point next to you. I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm saying that. I'm connected. Say I'm connected. Tell them, I got connection you've never seen yet. So, and a whole lot of it I haven't seen. Sit down. I got to try to take a laugh. We get it.
I'm connected.
I'm a son of God.
I got heaven privileges.
I got the voice of God privileges. I got the Holy Ghost privileges.
I can't be stopped.
Well, stop it. I take off.
I
operate in the supernatural. I operate in the Spirit of God. I operate in the anointing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Mercy belong to me. Grace belong to me. Faith belong to me. The kingdom belong to me. Heaven belong to me. The Holy Ghost belong to me. The voice of God belong to me. I tell you. I'm not settling for a defeated enemy to whoop me. Now, sometimes God give me things to say. I don't understand. I had to say something in Port Arthur, but I'm getting in a rim where I got to just see what he was saying. Why read the mail and you don't like the person who wrote it? Let that sink down a little bit. Everything that's coming against you, it did not come from God. Why would you repeat it? Why would you keep reading the same old mail? You know the person who wrote the letters against you. Shut it up and shut it down and walk in your sonship. I'm not sick, I'm well. I'm not broke, I'm rich. I'm not unhappy, I'm full of joy. Everything against you right now is a letter Satan wrote you. Seal it back up. And read what God said about you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Read what, if I'm for you, all things work together for good for them that love God who... Read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What he does, he make me lay, I'm laying down in green pasture. The water's not trouble. The water's not trouble. Why? He leadeth me beside still water. So what, you got a moment? You got a moment in your life you don't like? Yeah, do I walk through that moment? I fear no evil in that moment. I fear no evil in that moment. Why? Thy rod and thy staff comfort me through this moment. Here's what the Lord want to tell you. If you're dealing with something, it's only for a moment. Everything that attack you, you're going through it. Oh, get this now. Everything you're dealing with, you're going through it. See that? Keep your hope. Keep hope alive. Jesse Jackson said, keep hope alive. See, everything you, right now, is only temporary. Come on, talk to me. I'm about to close. But see, whatever, you're going through it. Not going to be like this always. I'm going through it. And I don't have to die and go to heaven for the chance. No, I got a right to call heaven to come down here and change it for me now. All right, everybody going with something now. We're going, most people going through something. Look, watch me. I'm going through it. And look, I'm not running. Yeah, do I what? Walk. Don't tell people all your problem. You're preaching for the devil. Keep your mouth shut and deal with it. Take out the sword of the spirit. Cut the enemy. I've come here, they didn't preach to you. You thought I was in the board of hell. The enemy had attacked my body, but I just wobbled on up there and started preaching, and a power come on me. And you, I got there. Oh, y'all pray for me. I ain't doing too good today. Gee, you never hear that? You never hear it. No, man. No. If you're going through something, take a walk around here. Take a walk. Walk. Let's go. Let's go. Let's walk on through. Walk on through it. I just, I got to demonstrate too. Let's walk. Now say you're walking right on through it. Whatever it is, walk on through it in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm a son of God. Heaven is open to me. God's voice is talking to me. And the Holy Ghost, I'm attracting the Holy Ghost. This is a Holy Ghost walk. This is a Holy Ghost walk. I'm walking because the Holy Ghost on me. The Holy Ghost is going to get me out of everything. Good God. Everything that the devil tried to do to me, I'm walking right out of it right now. I'm walking through this thing. God is on my side. If God is for me, who can be against me? I'm walking through this thing, partner. I'm walking right now. I'm walking through this. Yes, sir. I receive. I'm walking through this. I don't have to put up with this. I'm walking through this. Things are changing right now. Hey. Walk on through it, God. Pick our stuff up. Walk on through it. I'm walking through this. I'm walking to my healing. I'm walking to my help. I'm walking through this to my help. I'm a son of God. Say it, I'm a son of God.
My son had a problem with his lungs. I'm planting a seed for that.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Got you. I got it. I'm a son of God. Say it. Washed in the blood. Delivered. From the power of darkness. Translated. Into the kingdom of God, dear son. I have divine rights. I stand today in the presence of Almighty God and say, thank you, sir. I believe you. I receive it. Oh, my. Y'all sing something. Sing, children. Oh, my. My son, say my sonship coming through. My sonship coming through. Keep saying it. My sonship coming through. I can't be defeated. My sonship coming through. I've heard a word from heaven. Heaven is open over me, over my family, over my home, over my business. Heaven is open. God talking to me. The Holy Ghost empowering me. I have the victory. Thanks be to God, which gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Sing, man. Sing.
There is power in the name.
That's it, boy. Watch out. Y'all get ready. Wow.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. In the name of Jesus, we break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
God Almighty.